I'm going to eat your foot in the form of an asada taco.
And here we are with Joe and Lars. We are. Ha, I'm cyberbullying you in the chat. Who's Churdly's? Just a hack.
Lars and Joe are big dummies.
Lars and Joe are big dummies. Lol.
LOL.
My hands.
Love it.
Was that a good intro?
Yeah, that was perfect. Thank you.
Welcome to the first podcast, you son of a bitches.
Hello, and welcome to the first podcast. 109,000 people can't be wrong. I'm your host, Lars. Epstein didn't kill himself. And with me, as always, is America's boyfriend, co-host Joe.
Hi.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, as well as patrons like yourself. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit later. Chad, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I think I offended some people with swearing. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, swear all you want. I don't care.
Brick. I am a YouTuber guy. Facebook and YouTube video guy. Make comedy videos, sketches. They're pretty weird. I do a bunch of characters, and I try to be funny. And then I have funny people in them that are funnier.
Woo. You're really funny.
Thanks, man. The people in the videos are funny too.
Yeah, I like your characters too. Hilarious characters.
Yeah, I love diving into characters so that when people are mean in the comments, I'm just like, oh, they're just talking about someone else.
Now, you did an interview recently with Danny Mullen, and about 2 minutes in, he says it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun's still up, and he's got to bring a chick over and open a bottle of wine. to which you respond, yep, daddy's here. So for this interview, would you feel comfortable if I just call you daddy for the duration?
Daddy chatty. Daddy's home. Yeah, you can call me daddy.
Okay.
Cool. I feel like the name Chad.
Name Chad sucks.
Has taken a weird trajectory on the internet. Like for a while, it was just like associated with like douchebags, and then now it's kind of different, where it's like virgin versus Chad, and you kind of want to be a Chad. So it's like it's changed.
Yeah, I get bullied for it a little bit, but it's okay. Who cares? A little bully never hurt nobody.
It reminds me of I had an English teacher in high school named Greg, and he didn't like the name Greg. He said it sounded like a caveman name.
Mm-hmm. Greg.
So it's kind of the same, kind of similar thing.
Greg.
I can see that. Like, hi, I am Greg. Or,
I am Greg.
Greg.
I am big, strong me. Greg.
Me, Greg.
Me, Greg.
Greg with rock.
Grog.
Me, club woman. Yeah, I can see
Grog
that.
Grog, love, rock. Wait, what's that from? Am I out of the loop?
I think it's just caveman times.
I think that's from something. People in the chat get a little bit weird. At discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these episodes live.
Discord.t1podcast.com to stay in touch with the hosts and listen in live at discord.t1podcast.com. All right, moving on.
Chad.
Yes.
How would you describe your videos to someone who has never seen them before?
It's like it's kind of bro-y humor. Like I do a bunch of characters that are just douchey and annoying, or like fuckboyish, or like fratty douche, or like nerdy, or like a lot of like rave stuff too. But it's basically just some characters yelling at each other. I like filming from like far away. I don't know why I think when people argue from far away is funny, but people seem to like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in your videos. Actors,
just people not getting along, you know?
Yeah. People seemingly like messing up their lines.
Yeah, I kind of like to break the fourth wall and like do stupid stuff, editing mistakes. I think it's funny.
What's really funny about the characters is that like every single one of them, every single one of them. I knew like 50 dudes in high school that were exactly like that.
Yeah.
Like I could just picture them exactly in my head every single time. Yeah. They're such perfect stereotypes.
Yeah. I love like diving into the different types of people and stuff. Like we're like filming in different like places, like raves. People like a lot of people don't go to raves and they're like, well, this is interesting. Or like I went to a furry convention and then like film there. Usually I just do a character and kind of semi-troll, but it's also just like me looking dumb. There's this new idea I want to do. I heard there's a place in LA called like Cannibal. It's like a cannibal restaurant. And these people literally eat live, or not live, but like human meat. Like legally. I don't know how. And it's very like closed off. I want to try and find the link. And oh my gosh, here it is. It's so bizarre.
I feel like that might lead to some legal trouble if you get involved in that.
I know. I'm going to put it in the chat.
Okay.
It's so disturbing. And I wanted to film in it. I feel like I'd be insane, but
that seems like something Filthy Frank would do.
Yeah. There's the link right there.
Are you chewing gum, by the way?
Me?
Yeah.
No, sorry. I was like chewing on a sunflower seed.
Oh, okay.
Could you hear it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Shall we?
It reminded me of the interview with Danny.
Cuisine.
He made. You know, it'd be funny if we were recording in person and then I was like forcing you to spit out the sunflower seed like into my hand so that I could chew on it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I would have done it.
This website seems like I can't tell if it's serious or not. It's like
I think it's serious. Some guy like said he's been there and he said he could like try to get me in to film, but it might be risky.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so scary. Placenta lasagna, liver
gross.
And mushroom parisi. I don't know what that is. Baked rather than boiled.
A penne pasta with meat sauce.
Something of what? And liver. So weird. I would probably have to do it for the video, for the meme.
I remember a couple years ago, there was this article about this dude. It was actually on Reddit. He did like an AMA where he had his, I think it was his leg was, what's the word for getting it cut off prematurely?
Amputated.
Oh, amputated. That's the word. I don't know why I blanked on that.
Yeah.
And so like he invited his friends over because like he was able to convince the doctors to save some of his meat. And so he cooked it up in a bunch of tacos for his friends.
Oh my god.
Did you guys ever see that?
No, what a savage. No. Damn.
No, I feel like I might have heard of that though.
I also feel like I would kind of want to try it though. Like if that happened to me, I feel like I kind of have to. Like that's the one time
I wouldn't want to try that.
Really?
That sounds why do you want to try that? That sounds disgusting.
Women eat their placenta.
So if Joe, if you had to have your leg amputated today, and then they were like, do you want some of the substance? You would say no?
I would say no. Yeah, of course I would say no. I feel like most people would say no.
Isn't it interesting, though?
Yeah, it's interesting in like a disgusting way. It's not interesting in like, oh, let me try it kind of way. I don't know.
Wait, so these guys' friends knew that they're eating leg tacos?
Yeah, it's in the chat right now. There's actually like photos of it and stuff.
Imagine if it was like a Filthy Frank video. I guarantee you he would have just tricked his friends into eating it and then told him after.
Yeah. I'll like do with, it. I would eat it. I don't care.
I'm looking at the final cut. It doesn't look bad. It just looks like steak.
Really? Wait, where's the pictures?
It's not what it looks. It's not the visual. It's not. I wouldn't not eat it because of what it visually looks like. I would not eat it because of what it is.
But
knowing that.
But isn't it kind of like sacred to you? Like it's like consuming a part of yourself that you've lost. Isn't that like important as a ritual?
Are you serious? Are you being serious right now? Or is this like one of your Lars gags to try to make me throw up on air again?
I have to say, like, I feel like I would try it.
I wouldn't cut off my foot just to sell it to someone who has a really crazy foot fetish.
Or someone who's like a cannibal and really hungry. Yeah. Joe, if I cut off my leg, not just because I wanted to, but because I had to for an amputation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I offered you a taco. Would you eat it?
Like the next day.
No, I wouldn't eat it. What part of this conversation would lead you to believe that I would eat it?
I would.
Have I been mincing my words?
What if it turns out that it was good? Like I tried it and it tasted good.
You know what? When I was in England, I tried haggis for the first time, and I'm glad that I tried it, but I didn't like it. And that is something that I would try because that's a normal food that people eat.
What is that?
Oh, I'm just linking the Imager album that shows him making the tacos.
But when I was also in England, I was offered to try black pudding, which is made of pork blood, and I didn't even try that. So what makes you think that I would eat your foot, so Lars? I mean, we're good friends, but we're not like, I'm going to eat your foot in the form of an asada taco.
Well, I mean, Joe, it's a very specific situation. I'm not thinking like in general that you would want to eat my foot. I'm just saying like if it was amputated and you had a shot, but...
This is so gross.
I know, right?
I'm just looking at these pictures.
Yeah.
Let's move on. This is awful. This is horrible.
This is the cannibalism podcast.
Yeah, this is...
All right, yeah. New topic, Joe. We don't have to gross out our listeners.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Let's stay on this topic.
Okay.
I have a similar... We could stay on like a similar type of grossness while switching topics a little.
Let me invite Chad into the circle, though, here. Chad, would you try your friend's amputated foot taco?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Exactly.
Well, twice in a lifetime if they get the other foot amputated.
Yeah, if they're really unlucky in separate instances. Like, Chad, I got some good/bad news for you, but yeah.
You gotta eat your own foot.
Joe, you had another topic?
Yeah, in your video on YouTube, How to Be a Cute E-Boy on TikTok, two of the actors appear to be throwing up for real.
Yeah.
Was that...
Bella, the girl in it, was fake, but Kev's was real. He throws up all the time. He threw up in a video literally yesterday that we were shooting too. I forget why. Oh, he like chugged a beer and he like doesn't drink that much and just like threw it up immediately. Anyway, we filmed it. So, and one time I drank my own pee for a video.
Oh, was that? That was real.
What was that like? Pee.
God, that's disgusting.
It's just tastes like warm salt water. So
interesting. Maybe you need to drink more water.
No, it was pretty like, what's it called? Clear, but it still had like a little saltiness to it.
I hear if you run pee through a Brita filter and then drink it through a Life Straw, it just tastes like water.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you try that, Lars?
No, there's this channel with Markiplier and Ethan from something called Unus Honest where they did that, where they Brita filtered a bunch of pee and then they drank it through a Life Straw and they said it just tasted like nothing.
What's a Life Straw?
A Life Straw is one of those things where you... So in third world countries, there's not a lot of fresh water necessarily in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And a Life Straw is like this big ass straw that you can buy. And it filters the water as you sip it. Mm-hmm. So it makes it safe to drink. It filters out all the impurities and all the gross diseases and stuff.
Okay. Yep. That sounds yummy. Let's do it. I won't drink for water for like the whole day. And just so it's just very concentrated.
Disgusting. Yeah, put it to the full test of its abilities.
I'll get chlamydia for it.
Why did you drink pee on that video?
So we do these like rock star videos, and every time we do, I just get a bunch of alcohol for everyone, and we just get like really drunk because we're supposed to be like alcoholic rock stars that suck, and then things just usually end up going crazier too and stuff. So I was just drunk. And then my friend just like put a White Claw bottle under while I was peeing, and then I just drank it. He's like, "Drink it," and I was like, "All right, I did it." Oops.
Are you glad that you did? Are you glad that you've experienced that, or do you regret it?
That video was just insane, and I think it maybe like shadow banned my YouTube channel because things are like getting mashed up. Like my last few videos. Like, haven't been doing that good. Maybe I'm just stupid, but I don't know. Is that a thing where YouTube could get shadow banned?
For drinking your own pee? I know you can get shadow banned for various things, according to Jake Trumper.
if you swear too much in the beginning of the videos, they'll ding you for advertisements and a bunch of other stuff.
Apparently, if you mention the coronavirus, they consider it like sensitive.
Shoot. I did do a bunch of coronavirus videos.
Oh, that might be. Yeah, that might do it.
But I haven't done that in a while.
I guess you're screwed.
Well, I'm fucked. I'm going to start a new channel. Actually, I do have a second channel.
Oh, someone says in the chat that they're subbed to you and they haven't gotten any new notifications of your videos.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
That's what.
You should write a sternly worded letter and put it in the mail.
Yeah. Wow, that's so rude, YouTube.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're going to make a movie anyway. Frick YouTube.
Oh, you actually are?
Nah. Or, yeah. One day.
Okay.
I have a producer friend that wants to make a movie, and that's just like what I want to do. Just get all the boys and funny girls in the movie.
Would it be Churdley's the movie, or would it just be like your crew makes a movie about something?
Yeah, probably just the crew.
It wouldn't be like a biopic?
I'd probably have like Trevor Wallace and like Casey Fry and people like that that I work with a lot in it and that are funny boys. And yeah.
When it comes to creating a new video or some piece of content and you've got all the stages, like writing the script, filming it, processing it and editing it, what is the most time consuming or what is the most important step?
I don't really write it out. So I think the most important step is just feeling the vibe once we start filming. It's totally about that. Cause we really just like kind of improvise. We have like a basic idea for the video and then we just kind of go. Usually I have like a few beats to hit throughout. And then a lot of like the magic is just like improvised. And then like editing takes kind of a long time because of that, but it's fun.
You had made a video called Is It Chill If I Chill Here? And you had discussed many subtle nuances of social dynamics between friends. And as someone who's really interested in social dynamics, I would love to explore some of the themes that you had gone into. Some of the themes that you had appeared to explore were not saying what's up loud enough for the other person to hear, feeling ignored, and putting up a peace sign too close to the person's face, as well as asking if it's chill to chill here. Are you the type of person who is acutely aware of these social dynamics, and that's why you made that video about it, or am I reading into this too far?
Me and Trevor's, or Casey's first video we made, we kind of explored that style, where it's just like two guys in this like weird conversation that doesn't really make any sense or go anywhere. And then that Travis character is like really stupid. And and then we thought, then me and Trevor's first video we did, we thought it'd be funny if he's even like dumber. And then he like, he just plays that so well. And he was just like, we pretty much improvised the whole thing. I knew that I wanted him to like walk up and like just not be able to project his voice and just be things to that like stupid.
Not knowing that he has to even speak at a normal volume. Like he doesn't comprehend how sound waves work.
Yeah, exactly. And then I wanted to hit a beat where he like says all these like memes to make me try to feel better. And it's just like, it just doesn't, it just doesn't make any sense really. And then I wanted that end. Forget what I wanted the end to be, but yeah, like the best part of that video was like improvised where he just didn't understand like what death was.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was just like, is she gone? Like that was just like out of nowhere.
Yeah. You asked him, do you understand what death means?
Yeah. That's where that kind of style kind of stemmed from. And then we like broke the fourth wall and he kept like looking at the camera and stuff and we just thought that was funny and just kept going with it. So yeah, we kind of stick with that.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I did a project in ninth grade with I was in digital media theory and production or whatever, and we had to do like a music video. And I had a dude that was exactly like that. Like he kept looking at the camera when he wasn't supposed to. So I was like, oh, like it was painful to watch that part of that video. And he kept fucking it up in the video too. So it was like, oh.
You did a video project?
Yeah, and I had that guy in my group. Like, I knew that dude. Not him, literally him, but, like, that's that archetype of person.
Yeah, I don't know how they just don't get it. It's really funny. We did a video with my filmer's mom, like his real mom, and she just would not stop looking at the camera. We have, like, bloopers of it. Like, she did it, like, 20 times. It's like, what are you doing? It was pretty adorable, though.
During that same video, you were... You had gone into the significance of chilling at the same height level, which I took to indicate a potential struggle in power dynamics among friends, where the friends should be relatively on the same level.
I mean, I don't think it was...
Was this an analysis of social dynamics and norms among friends and society at large?
Well, we're not smart like enough to think to have planned it like that.
Okay.
We did.
Because when I was...
Yeah.
When I was watching the video, I was like, "Oh, he's saying that the friends should be on the same level."
Yeah, I guess that's like a metaphor for being on the same vibe, you know.
But it was really about literally just being the same,
yeah,
the same level, literally.
So dumb. We just like have like a character, an idea, and then we just kind of run with that. So it's hard to like plan stuff, especially with trying to do YouTube and do videos, like 2 videos a week and stuff. But a lot of people do write out their stuff, but like I just feel like I used to as well, but I feel like it's just way more fun to bounce off each other.
I've noticed myself, and I'm going to draw a comparison to another channel here, which you've collaborated with, Gus Johnson.
Mm. Oh yeah, the boy.
Yeah, he's a great dude. It seems to me like some of the best little comedy skits on YouTube are the ones where you have an idea, but you just have the idea, and then you make it from there. Like, you have just, like, a very simple premise, like going out to eat with someone who's already been to the restaurant, and then just make the jokes come from that. I think that's the best way to do it.
Totally. We kind of do it different. Sometimes we have, like, an idea, and then sometimes we just pick a line from the, like, improvised moments. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what we did with is it chill if I chill here? I was just like, that's a funny line. And then she's that. But sometimes we know like that. But Gus is very good at having a funny like title and just, just going off of that. Same with Trevor. He just like, he could literally do anything. Like someone who drinks Diet Coke. It's just like so specific, but I love that stuff.
I'm drinking Diet Pepsi right now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like Diet Pepsi as much as Diet Coke, but it's just what I have.
Yeah.
Joe, why would you buy it? So, Joe, you're an adult living on your own. Why did you purchase it?
I didn't purchase it. My brother works for he delivers for Instacart, and sometimes they cancel their order after he's already bought it, and we get to keep the stuff. So we got stuck with it. So,
dude, I'm really sorry.
It's fine. Fuck me, I guess. You know?
How did you get hooked up with Gus Johnson, by the way?
We had the same manager at the time, and I think, I don't know if that was a thing, but he just hit me up on Twitter, and I was like, oh, shoot, I love this guy. Mm. Then we just made a video, and then we made a few videos together, I think like 3. Mm-hmm. He's in one of my bigger ones, where we're like 7th graders flexing on each other.
Yeah.
That's like a new little style that we...
Yeah.
That I love.
The video with the character Lars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Is that based on this Lars?
Yeah. He wore his actual retainer and stuff. It's really funny.
I was really surprised because it turns out statistically there are less than 1,000 Larses in the United States. It's such an uncommon name. So I was shocked to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of the Rocket Power brother of Twister, I think his name was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was associated with like a bully.
That show was so influential for me growing up. Like, I wanted to be like them, just playing these power sports and illusion. And, like,
it was so cool.
I just thought they looked cool. It was a very 90s look.
Yeah, super 90s.
Are there any, by the way, you had also talked about this in your cute TikTok video. What was it?
Cute
e-boy on TikTok, where the hair split down the middle was vital in the look. Which I feel like that came from the early 2000s, like Trunks, Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other looks that you would like to see make a reemergence, such as frosted tips, mohawks?
like the 70s where like the girls have like poofy ass hair. Mm-hmm. those are kind of cool.
That'd be cool. What was it, Beyonce in Austin Powers?
I don't know if I watched all that. Oh yeah, that's friggin' epic.
We are starting to see something of a reemergence of boy bands, I think. About 10 years ago, you had One Direction and bands like that. Not that long ago for One Direction, but...
Can you name one more band than that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some, but the Jonas Brothers.
Brockhampton or something is kind of a boy band.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
I feel like boy bands were... I'm not really a big fan of boy bands, but I feel like they weren't that bad. Like, they came on the radio back in the day, and you'd listen to them. You know, they're okay. It's like soft rock. I have
a NSYNC and Backstreet Boys poster up in my pad.
There you go.
I love the nostalgia 90s. I always get like stuff from, or like clothes from like those stores that like replicate like the 90s look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really am a big fan of that myself. You were a 91 child, right? You were
92.
92. Ooh, fake fan.
Yep.
Hey. Fake fan. I was born in 91, so we both were, I think, from that period of time. And mm-hmm. Lars, too, because Lars was also from around that general era, where after that, you started getting to the point where the kids were born when the 90s stuff wasn't really big anymore. So yeah. We were sort of still in that period of time where it was still big to be
By the way, I know that fashion is pretty cyclical, but I feel like society's probably going to skip the 2000s era of clothing. Like, I doubt that's ever going to make a comeback. Like, the awkward years between the 90s and the 2010s, where it was just like the worst things in the world. You guys remember that?
I think that's just part of the cycle. Yeah. And then if like 10 years, we're going to be like, wait a second. Because like, what are some things that are like coming back from like the 90s? Because like the 90s, I feel like a little bit after the 90s, we were just like, ew, gross. And now everyone's like, oh, yeah.
I feel like wearable technology used to be sort of a thing. Like, I feel like society introduces these new elements every like 10, 15, 20 years. There's a period of time where people don't want to do stuff that has been done before. They want to do mostly new stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of cringy stuff because you look back on it and you're like, well, that didn't work. This kind of worked, but most of the stuff doesn't work. And then you enter a period of time for like another 10, 15 years where you're like, you don't want to do new stuff. You want to borrow from what was successful like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You do that for 10 more years and then you do a new period again. It just kind of goes in around in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I know I was kind of...
Like the hype beast type areas, I feel like... I don't know. Like I feel like people just throw things on from every era. Mm-hmm. But they just spend way too much money on it. Like, I don't know what kind of shoes it was, but my friend was wearing these Heelys. Like shoes. Hey. I got some Heelys. Yeah. those are sick. But he was wearing like some like dad looking like shoes, but they were like designer, so they're probably like $300 or something. And I was just like, these are just expensive dad shoes, expensive New Balances. But like, I think people like the idea of purchasing like dumb expensive stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just, it's kind of dumb that they do that, but.
Yeah, but whatever. I can't have nice things. I get things at like Target. My favorite shirts are like a Taco Bell shirt from Target.
Yeah.
It's like $5.
Is there anything that you, well, let me first ask this. Let me try yes, to Joe? Formulate where I'm going with this. You had done another one of your recent videos, Dad Goes to a Rave.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video, it seems like you got recognized a bunch of times while filming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite time that you've ever gotten recognized?
It seems like
it happens a lot.
It's like a hot girl. My favorite times is like when I'm on a date or like, if I'm like with my family I think my favorite one was like, because like I was just like growing an audience and stuff on YouTube, and you know how parents, they don't really like understand like how to make money on it and stuff, and
you have to explain to them the importance of it.
Yeah, and they don't get it at first. They're like, what are you doing with your life? Making videos. And then one time, like, this group of like girls in a car were like, we love your videos, in front of my parents, and they're like, oh wow, my famous son. And they were probably a little bit more proud. And
I was okay, that's nice. That's always nice.
Because they don't get it.
Yeah, I imagine there's an extra layer of awkwardness too, because you're not a good little Mormon boy.
I'm a bad boy.
Is your family like real, like super religious, or is that? Can I ask that?
Yeah, that's fine. They are. I'm pretty much the black sheep, but it's all good. They're starting to understand.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy myself. I come from a Jewish family, and no one's particularly religious except for like my uncle and my mom a little bit, sort of, but not really. So there isn't really much of a pressure to be a certain way religiously.
Yeah, that's nice. One thing that I just wish is that I could like drink with my family. You know, like I feel like I was talking about the other day. I was like, it'd be so. That's like why people drink at like weddings and like Christmas or whatever. Just like some wine or something, because like it loosens people's up, and like it'd just be we're not like tense, but it'd like just be fun to be a little intoxicated, because that's when you like talk a lot and tell your true emotions to your fam.
It does build a bond. Yeah. It really does.
I'm just like, dang it, I wish I could.
Do your folks have an opinion on the kind of content that you do from the perspective of being Mormons? Like, do they have a approval of it, or is that an issue? Or I'm just kind of curious about that.
Yeah, they like them. No, at first when I'm just like trying to figure out my style and stuff, they're like, what? And like, I would like swear a lot in some videos, but I still swear in the videos, but it's not as big of a deal, because it could be like, well, people like it, saw we. And then, she doesn't like the fuckboy character, because he's like always horny and he's gross, which is the point.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't like him either for the obvious reasons.
One would want to hang out with him. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Is your dad goes to a rave character based on like a family member? Because he's so straight laced.
Yeah, he's kind of a version of my dad and just like other dads. You know, like I take actual things that my dad says or like wears.
Jeepers, and then, golly.
Yeah, exactly. And like just things that typical dads do. I think that was like my longest running character, even before I started Churdley's and stuff, was this dad character. It took a long time to like develop, but it's a ridiculous one. And it was the first thing that did well on Facebook too. I did like dad tries to find son at Coachella.
I saw that one. That was fun. That was a good one.
Yeah. And I didn't even know like people would like it or watch it. I just uploaded it to Facebook and I was like, whoa.
How much time did you spend making that one?
That one was so quick. I was at Coachella and then I just literally ran around, and it probably took 20 minutes to film that. And then editing it was really quick too. So it taught me to not try as much. It's so weird how when you try a lot on something or a certain project, sometimes those just flop more than the ones that you're just like, duh, whatever, throw it up there.
Yeah, that can be frustrating sometimes. By the way, wanted to mention that on the topics of the dad's videos, the hardest I've ever laughed at anything you have ever done is a moment about 20 seconds into the video called How Dads Flex on Other Dads.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing you improvised it. You used the line flab nabbit.
Flab nabbit.
Which is just such a perfect, like, dad thing to say. Flab. It's so great.
Flab nabbit.
I think my dad actually says that.
Really?
Or, like, one of my uncles. I don't know. I don't know.
That's so great. It's such like a good dad kind of half swear, but trying to be, like, really. I don't know. That was fantastic.
My dad loves that character because he's like flattered that it's based on him. Mm-hmm. Whenever like I make fun of a certain character, like people that are like that are like, yes, like the frat guys. I'm like kind of making fun of douchey frat guys, but then they're all like, yes, this is the best. Mm-hmm. That's us.
The dad character accidentally took some Advil.
What was
did you
that?
See that one, Lars?
No, I didn't catch that one.
His daughter.
That was at EDC. Oh, man. Supposed to be at EDC like last week or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were going to go to VidCon this year with a couple other creators, but nope.
You know, I've never gone to a festival or a rave.
Really?
And I really want to. I really want to go to festivals and stuff. I don't know why I haven't. Well,
Joe, now's a really bad time for that. Like, maybe wait a few
months.
No,
I missed my opportunity.
Yeah.
You want to now.
I really, now more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, this question is for Daddy. I recently created a Facebook group called A Group for Karens.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
It's basically a...
Joe.
Nice.
But,
yeah, Lars.
Language, please.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't believe
you just
said
that.
It basically is a group where people pretend to be mad at the, or like needing to talk to the manager, and then I role play as the manager. And it's sort of taken on this character, where it's still evolving because I only made the group yesterday. But basically, the manager character is lazy, lies about stuff. Like he'll pretend to give you a $1,000 gift card, but it's empty. He hates his job and wanted to be a dancer.
Nice.
He'll often put on, people will ask to talk to my manager, so I'll put on a mustache and say, I'm his manager, and then my catchphrase is, what can I do you for?
That's the, another day in paradise.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
What can I do you for?
I feel like this is one of those kind of things that really only come out of a quarantine, like a role-playing Karen's group. Is just
in a grocery store.
Is that on Facebook?
Specifically
on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's on. Nice. I could send you an invite if you want to join the.
Oh heck yeah, down.
I'll do that after.
Yeah, let's worry about that later.
But
I want to do a video where we're like Karen's flexing on each other or something. or someone give me an idea. Like you'd like it's like a TLC type documentary, and you're like. I didn't know my mom was a Karen my whole life. She lied to me.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
You should have like a realization moment where the person realizes it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it all comes together or something.
Why didn't you tell me, mom? You're a fucking Karen.
Yeah.
You bitch.
You could have like a teenager being a Karen and then, I don't know.
Show how she evolves.
Like she starts to show subtle traits. Like at one point she's at the grocery store and suddenly blurts out, can I speak to the manager? And she's like, oh shit. Oh fuck.
Oh no.
It's starting.
The emotion sinks out of the parents' faces and they just turn flesh white.
Yeah. Joe, speaking of emotion sinking out of your face and turning flesh white, I think we should talk about our sponsor.
You must be talking about audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
audibletrial.com/T1podcast. That's the link to get a free audiobook today on our behalf. That's free as in beer, not free as in freedom. You get the book whether you keep the service or not.
I love audibletrial.com/T1podcast, Lars. I love it so much.
That sounds so inauthentic, Joe. Oh my God.
I'm doing my comedy, Lars.
Right.
Let me do my jokes.
Okay.
The thing I love the most about audibletrial.com/T1podcast is I don't know how to read, Lars. I never learned, and now I don't have to. You know all those jokes that you sent me and I would just type out, ha ha ha? Well, I have to be honest with you, Lars. I don't know how to read those. But now it doesn't matter because thanks to audibletrial.com/T1podcast, I can read... by having somebody read to me now, and now it doesn't matter that I am a stupid dumbass.
Are you sure you want to commit to that as your character, Joe? As being illiterate from now on?
Fuck it, why not?
All right. So if you're illiterate like Joe, go ahead and check out, by the way, whether you're illiterate or not, Audible is a great service. I highly recommend you check them out, and you can check them out for free. Why not? Just check it out. Audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Toss the service if you don't like it. Keep the book, or if you do, they start at very affordable monthly rates.
That's right. Audibletrial.com/T1podcast for your free audiobook today. And just as a disclaimer, Mom, Dad, and Grandma, I know how to read.
All right.
I know how to read. Right.
By the way, Joe, my headphones need to be plugged in for charging. Can you carry the show with a question real quick? I got to plug them in.
Sure. Do you have any siblings, Daddy? Is it weird that I'm calling you that now, or should we keep committing?
Nah, got to commit to the bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I got three older sisters and a younger bro. Mm-hmm.
So we both are one of five siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have two older siblings and two younger siblings.
Oh, you're a little Oreo. You're right in the middle.
That's right. Do you feel like that plays a role in your ability to create or just to be creative? The fact that there's so many siblings?
Well, all my older sisters, I would just be insanely annoying to. So that's like where it all stemmed from. Because I just wanted attention even when I was a kid. And I was just like, I would do dumb videos too, like with my mom's like big VHS camera, and like try to be funny. But yeah, just being annoying was like the funnest for me. And I was like basically the last child because my brother came like 8 years later, and so I had to get attention somehow.
Normally, the baby of the family gets the most attention.
Yeah, I just wanted more. Guess
you got a taste for you got a thirst for it.
Yeah, that's the human condition, Joe.
I remember doing stand-up comedy when I was about 11 and just making my sister laugh. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, if I could make more people laugh, then that would be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then almost 20 years later, you're on a podcast.
You guys do comedy? You guys do comedy videos?
I do TikTok videos that are supposed to be funny.
Supposedly.
And I've done some stand-up comedy. I actually used to be a skipper on the Jungle Cruise, if you know what that is.
No, I don't.
At Disneyland. You ever go to Disneyland?
Yeah.
You ever go on the boat ride where the skipper's at the front of the boat telling bad jokes?
Oh, you were him?
Yeah, for those 3.5 years.
So you had to say the same jokes over and over?
Well, no, I changed it up. You weren't supposed to, but I really improvised it.
Wow. What's your TikTok? I'm going to look at your TikTok.
Huh?
I'm going to look at your TikTok.
Oh. Okay. By the way, your TikToks have been showing up on my For You page, like, continuously.
Frick, yeah. I gotta post more.
I'm Disney Joey on there. If you follow me, we could be mutuals. And then I'll send you funny memes. Not too many, but.
Oh man, you're in the 100K club.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the heck is this?
Do you get any special benefits for that, Joe?
It makes me feel good inside. Yeah, that's really the main benefit.
Mm.
I would.
Dang. This video's sick. I don't know.
Most of my videos are pretty dumb, to be honest.
He got most of his fame from posting this video in Europe where he saw a large slide and he had people follow him to watch the slide video, like him going down the slide.
Like people in person? Oh, I see it. Let's see.
Hey, guys.
Oh, wait. This isn't the one.
You have to go I'll back quite a ways.
He got like almost 100,000 followers in a day from that one video, I think.
Well, it was more like it was more like 70,000.
Oh, okay. But,
I'm actually kind of in a predicament right now because
maybe Chad can solve it.
So many people followed me for that one video, that slide video. So now when I post other videos, sometimes I get like hundreds of people unfollowing me because it's not another giant slide in Europe. It's like something different. This isn't what I signed up for.
Bring back the slide.
We want the slide.
Well, that can't possibly be reasonable of them over a long time period. Like, you can't just do that slide continuously as content. That's going to get real stale.
Yeah. Lars, do you have a TikTok?
Nah. So the story is that Joe got a TikTok, and I made a lot of fun of him for that. Like, because this was back when TikTok was really dorky. And yeah. Joe's one goal in life now is to become a famous TikToker out of spite towards me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was originally why I wanted to become TikTok famous, to go back to Lars and be like, hey, Lars, you know how you said this was dorky? Well, guess what? I'm famous there. I'm famous. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's still kind of dorky, though. I don't know.
Well,
even if you are famous on there,
I don't. Like, I mean, it's really all about having fun.
I'm going to pop open some wine.
Do you find yourself relating to any of your characters in particular? Like, are there any of them that are most similar to you, or are they all very different from you?
They're all like a little piece of me.
Okay.
The main ones, like the dad one's not really like anything like me. That's just from other people. But I usually take little quirks about me, like the Cheb awkward nerdy guys, like basically it's like me when I'm just like shy or whatever, or like back in the day before I started taking antidepressants, I was just like so in my head and just like so awkward, and it was like hard to like talk to people and just like so I was like just really weird, not really weird, but like just kind of, I just didn't know how to talk. And then so that's where that kind of stemmed from. And then the fuckboy one, I'm a little bit of a fuckboy. Mm-hmm. Like my name's Chad.
Exactly.
It's my civil duty as a Chad.
Yeah, and, as a member.
And his
of
name's
the,
Chad. The character.
Yeah, the Chad community.
The Chad community. The Travis character, like the little like the yo bro, what's good? He stemmed from people in my hometown. I lived right next to a city named Lake Elsinore.
Yeah,
California.
That makes complete. Yeah, that makes sense.
I know those people.
Yeah, we know. We know
like
Lake
the
Elsinore.
Dirt bike bros.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to where you live now. So we like we've experienced those exact people. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are.
Yeah, so we're probably like 45-minute drive or something.
I'm in Huntington Beach. I think Joe's in like Orange or something.
Thanks for doxing me, but
I should have just came through.
Yeah. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Oh, well, anyway.
I haven't been quarantining very good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a bad boy.
Well, if after the quarantine you want to get a beer or something, there's, you know.
Sure.
I'm down.
Wait, are you asking me or him?
I'm asking you and Daddy and Dad. Because I call Lars Dad.
Oh. All right. So and we could have a dad night out.
Dad, Daddy, and me and my two dads.
All right.
Good.
Lars is, I brought this up on the show before, but Lars's nickname in my phone is Dad. And so sometimes
weird.
I'll be texting him and my siblings will be like, oh, you're talking to Dad? And I'll be like, no, I'm talking to my friend Lars, who I call Dad.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of weird.
No, like.
It's kind of weird. Oh. It's okay, though.
I feel like it's good to fuck with people a little bit like that sometimes, though. Like to just do things that make people kind of like raise an eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did
it's
I
fun.
Do yesterday? I did a little gag yesterday. Oh, I had like fake blood. And I like made it drip down my ear. So it looked like I was like bleeding out of my ear. I was like, what the heck? What the frick? And I did a pretty good job. They were like, wow, you really sold us there.
Oh, there you go.
That's right. Got you.
Roast your heart, buddy.
You mentioned something a little bit earlier, by the way, and you can choose whether we can talk about this or not. But you were talking about how you'd gotten on antidepressants. And a fair amount of our listeners are kind of struggling with depression themselves. And I'm kind of curious because initially you were in, I think it was an Andrew Hales video, which you talked about how you kind of just started it and how it was starting to help your life in a couple ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how things are going at this point.
Pretty good. I don't know if I'm like dependent on it. It hasn't maybe just like all in my head right when I got on it. I guess it takes like a month to like really kick in. And then I've definitely felt it there. I was just like, so like out of my head, like going like friends and like talking a lot more and like eating more. And then like, it's just like kind of freeing. I don't know what it'd be like, out of it. I don't know if like it's, if I'll like spiral back down that or just like kind of learn how to, cause there's, I still get in my head and whatever, but yeah, I think beneficial for some people. Some people it makes feel like robotic.
Mm-hmm.
And then like some it just doesn't really do good for them. But yeah, I don't know.
I think it's tricky because it's not one of those, not one of those medications that like everyone can just take one thing and it works perfectly and then that's that. But with antidepressants, yeah, it's not really like that.
I want to be kind of, again, like have to take it my whole life.
Yeah.
Or maybe I have to, I don't know. It's not like a big deal to do it, but I don't know if it's bad or good. Or drinking alcohol a lot is probably worse anyway.
The fact that antidepressants exist and help a lot of people is a really good thing, and nobody should be ashamed for having to do it. And, you know, there is, you know, something of a stigma, I think. And
yeah, sure.
Crushing that is important, to crush that stigma like a pill, they say, they can say, you could say.
Yeah. I've been taking Adderall to edit, and I've been noticing that I'm just like, kind of, because Lexapro isn't like addictive. You just like have to take it. But
you have one new notification.
What? Shut can up, Alexa. You bitch. Sorry. But Adderall is kind of crazy. I don't know. I need to like, I always take like a few week breaks just so I don't get like attached.
Yeah.
And like the come off is like pretty bad. And I don't want to like get addicted to it, but it does help me like edit a video just like zoom, or I just get stuck in like FaceTiming everyone.
Yep.
It just makes you like want to talk, like it like hurts to not talk to people. You're just like, gah!
I feel like, yeah, because I have ADHD myself. I've taken it you know, medicinally from time to time. I've had prescriptions and stuff, and you know, it really does help with getting your shit together when it comes to you know, content creation, editing and stuff. But like you said, it's also very easy to take it and be like, oh shit, I'm realizing that I'm very social right now. I need to talk to everyone. I need to.
Yeah.
And also I can totally see how it could really ruin someone's life if they started abusing it just at all. It's such a, like the high is so good that, that it's like, it could be a real problem, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. I could totally see it being addictive. I just have to stop myself and then just to prove that I could do it.
Yeah.
To stop. But yeah, it is a crazy one.
Other than Adderall, by the way, do you have any tips for people who are struggling to, you know, get down to it and edit their stuff? Do you have any like productivity tips?
Oh, I'm so bad at it. I go on my phone every like few minutes and stuff. But yeah, it's just I kind of do it really late at night, so there's less distractions. I'm not like on my phone because everyone's like sleeping. So those are like the best times to do it. Yeah, I just got this like monitor, and there wasn't that much money because I have a laptop, and those like curved monitors. You ever see those?
Yeah.
And like it was like $200-$300 or something, but like it made it so much easier to edit. Cause like you could just like put a bunch of sequences and drag and drop, but like it was definitely worth the moolah. But about like concentrating, it's hard for me too. I have my filmer help edit nowadays, now that we're both way more busy and stuff. So he helps with that.
Yeah. I do actually highly recommend that if people don't have a dual screen setup, it's so helpful, especially like if you want to have like one thing that you're kind of paying attention to on the side and one thing your main focus on, and just being able, editing software really is better if you can stretch it all out. It's so compact on one screen. So that really does help quite a lot.
Yeah. It's so nice. Even like you don't spill things on the laptop and it break, you know, you can just put it to the side plugged in. I'm always scared of like water, cause I've done that before.
Did your laptop break?
Yeah, I've had like two laptops that break because of water.
I have two monitors, but I only use one of them because the one that I have is really big. So I just have a bunch of windows open, and each window takes up like the amount of space of a regular monitor.
Oh man, you got to get on that. It's so helpful.
I have two monitors. I just only use one, mostly to save electricity.
Is your background picture still corn, by the way?
It is.
Okay.
Corn the band or corn the
corn corn like vegetable. Unpopped popcorn.
Well, because Joe told me this story. I was hanging out with Joe once, you know, before the quarantine days, and He told me, I think it was like, he told me that his friend put porn on his desktop background, like while he wasn't looking. So then when Joe went to the bathroom, I decided I would put corn on his background. So, yeah.
Corn and porn.
Yeah.
Nothing better. Yeah. You guys have those like guys with the cart that has like corn, and then they sell it for like a dollar too. I don't know how they even profit, but they put like mayonnaise. Oh, Parmesan, yeah. And like spicy stuff on it. It's like, yeah. So elote. Good.
Elote. Yeah, it's so good.
It's a commitment because your teeth you get to brush your teeth after, and you're going to have to. Something going to break into my house.
It's like LA street dogs, which are the best.
Yeah.
It's a hot dog wrapped in bacon with peppers and onions.
Fuck. Those are so good after like a bar. You're just like, you just don't score. So you're just like, I'm going to go home and get hot dog breath.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best.
Those are a commitment too.
I have those hot dogs. I usually have two of them, and then I'll cup my hands in front of my mouth and just go, and then I could smell my own breath and experience it as another person would.
Yeah, oh, great. That's disgusting. I like it though.
Yeah,
you gotta definitely make sure you don't score though, because that's not something you want to eat in front of a woman. Yeah.
Yeah, you get those hot dog burps. Yeah, and they exactly. don't stop.
Nope.
And your like mouth tastes like the hot dog. I don't know if that's just me being particular and weird.
Is there anything more satisfying, by the way, than the farts that you get to fart right after a girl leaves?
Oh, yeah,
those are amazing. You know what I'm talking about, Joe?
I just wait for them to come over to fart. I hold in my farts for them. Here you go, baby.
Can you guys in the chat weigh in? Do you wait until the girl leaves or until she comes over to fart?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone actually does that, but never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was making what is known as a joke.
Yeah, and I was what is known as playing along.
Oh, shoot.
Someone says, I am a girl. Well, do you fart or not?
Do girls fart?
I mean, girls. I think girls fart.
Coincidentally, the first time one of my exes farted in front of me. I think she like farted on me. It was kind of funny. We broke up that night.
Because of the fart?
Not because of that. Just like, just because it just happened to be like that.
Was that the girl that is in the end of your videos?
Yeah, that's her.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe. That was so random.
Joe, do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I've seen the videos. Why do you always assume that I don't know what's going on, Lars?
I don't. I'm just trying to include you in the conversation.
I'm here. I don't need your help. I don't need your help, Lars, okay?
All right, bud. Okay.
Dang, dude. Beef.
We're like a married couple.
It's cute. I think everyone has like a podcast together. Like it creates like a brother-sibling vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like you just argue and stuff.
Yeah, we've actually had to tone it down. We've toned it down over the years. It used to be more yelling and rage, and now it's just like a regular sort of dynamic.
How long have you guys been doing this cast?
Well, we've been doing about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, actually coming up on 2 years. In two more months, it'll be 2 years.
The thing is that when you have fake hostility towards each other, not everyone understands that it's fake. So we kind of tone it down a little bit to the point where it's like, it's more obvious that we're like yanking each other's chain.
Or we have to, rather than explaining that we're joking, we try to do it in a way that's more obvious, like that doesn't require as much explanation or not as much hostility.
Some people are just going to assume anyway that it's like actual, like Joe and Eric are actually at each other's throats all the time, but you know, there's nothing we can do about that.
I made a TikTok video where I pretended to steal. I was talking about how to get free food at Disneyland. I've told this story before, but I want to tell it to you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
In the video, at the end of it, I said that.
Is that a burp?
Yes, it was.
That scared me. All right, go on.
You're welcome.
I was saying how to get free food at Disneyland, and the last tip I had was that you could take it out of people's strollers. Mm-hmm. And I had Pocky with me that I just brought with me, and I put it in a stroller and then film myself taking it out. and it got like I don't know, 100,000 views or something. And like, I guess 1 out of 1,000 people must have thought it was real, which isn't many. It's not a, it's a very small percentage, but that's still like 100 people.
Yeah, you got a lot of shit for that video.
That commented like, "You're a thief. You stole Pocky from a baby."
People are so, people believe anything. They'll make like fake like news articles and meme it, and then it's just like, this is so obviously fake. It's like, there's one that was like, girl calls boyfriend like 600 times or something. One's like, this is so mean, and like just weird photo. Or like the worst are the TikTok pranks, and like they're like such bad at acting, and they'll do like some dumb, obviously staged like girlfriend boyfriend prank or like something dumb, and it's just like, how does the world believe that?
How do you feel about the TikTok couples that their whole thing is they're a couple and they just like, you know, like Mackenzie and whoever and like those people? I think it's kind of, it's like, it's okay. Like, I'm not going to be like, I hate them for making the kind of content they want to make, but it's just not that interesting to me.
Do they act all cutesy or something? Or what do they do?
It's just, hey, like, he'll be like, "Hey, Kenzie, if you can, if you can, you know, do something, I'll buy you whatever you want from the mall." And then she does it, and now they're at the mall, and she picks up like a teddy bear, and that's it. Like, I get it. Yeah. The content is that their boyfriend, like, girlfriend. This is not interesting to me. I don't know.
Nah, it's, I guess, like, just little kids. They're like, "I want to be in a relationship too."
I think so.
It's kind of like a watching a vlog. Not that vlogs are like fake, but
yeah,
like, we're hanging out.
Or that guy that the girl gets in the car and he says something like, "Oh my God, why are you wearing that? You look disgusting." And she goes, "Ugh," and gets out of the car. Have you seen those ones?
It's just, no.
It's just the same thing over and over. They have like a million subs. It's just the same thing over and over. It's just like, do something funny. Do something original.
Do something funny. I feel like there's a kind of thing though on TikTok where and it's not true for everything, but it does kind of skew young in terms of demographic. So simpler, more basic comedy or content is probably more desirable. Like, it probably plays well.
How did you get verified on there, by the way? Did they reach out to you?
No, I'm not even verified on Instagram. Shit sucks. I think I'm like shadow banned on everything. Internet hates me. I think my manager did it. You know, I was just like, "Please verify me. I want to be cool."
Yeah.
But I'm verified on everything else besides freaking Instagram.
All right. Apparently their office is in Irvine.
Really?
If you wanted to storm it, after the Rona's over.
Somebody tagged me in this video that says, "Hey Joe, is this you?" And then there's a bunch of people in this video, so I have to look at it later. So I might have made a cameo in someone's TikTok without knowing it. I don't know.
What have you done?
I have to review it later.
Or it's a lookalike.
Yeah, it probably is.
All right. Let's move on to something interesting, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
What is the most outrageous thing that you've spent your YouTube money on? Any Ferraris or any like zebras?
No.
Gold plated toilets?
I spent so much money on my stupid dog, my cute little puppy. She's pretty worth it, but I did not need to spend that much. She's so cute, though. She was like $5,000. Everyone's like, "Why?" Well, get a Pomeranian for like $800. But she is like a little
I hope she understands the situation and does
that. She's a trophy dog. Yeah.
Yeah. She's already made up her money. Well, not really. I need to like put her in some videos and she'll make up the damage.
Yeah, I feel like putting your dog in a video is always is like a recipe for success.
Yeah, exactly. I need to do that quick. I think I spend a lot of money on like hotels and traveling, and I'll like have like a weird emotional breakdown, and then I'll just like travel somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or every time I travel or like have like a show or like a shoot somewhere, I always like end up just like canceling the flight back and be like, "I'm not going home."
Where do you like to travel? Dumb. Like, where's your favorite place that you've been to?
Probably Australia with Chad from Anything for Views.
Cool.
The cold ones. That was just so much fun. And then I like going to New York a lot or Miami.
Never been to Miami. New York is cool.
Yeah, New York's fun. Miami's just a party. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you spend like $500 on one drink.
Really?
Not that much, but it's expensive.
There's drinks that cost that much. Usually like huge bottles of vodka. You get bottle service.
There are just some bars too. You can go to some clubs where it's just like they'll just upcharge you 10,000% just because they're
so dumb.
Yeah,
celebrities go there and
or they like water it down.
Exactly. By the way, did you experience anything interesting culturally in Australia compared to here in America?
Things were just like cleaner. I went to Japan too. That was probably my favorite. Actually, it was crazy. Everything was really clean there. I don't know. The people are kind of a little different there. I feel like than LA. LA's kind of, some people are really stupid.
Yeah, people are mean in LA.
Yeah, they're like nice to each other's face and just like talk shit. It's very like competitive and like, I don't know.
Everyone's just
people
in
are
it
stupid.
For their own self-interest.
Like, mm-hmm. People are just like clout chasers and dumb.
Yeah.
I get the impression, by the way, that Max and Chad are pretty chill dudes in person.
Yeah, they're the best. And then I met the Fairbairn boys too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen their stuff. It's really they're really funny.
I've heard of it.
But they're really nice too. So it was all around fun. They're pretty genuine dudes. Me and Chad went pretty close.
I feel like basically every YouTuber that we get in touch with, it seems like they're all like super nice. Maybe we're just like in certain crowds. Maybe like we're just not in the ones where a bunch of them are assholes. But almost everyone we've interviewed was super chill.
Yeah,
I think you just kind of have to be.
Yeah, everyone that I've like worked with are pretty nice. I don't know. If it's like the faker cloudy type ones are. I don't really work with them, but they might be more like, I'm freaking cool.
Do you ever feel like you're just kind of living the dream, by the way, where you just have like a bunch of friends and you guys get together and you make a bunch of funny videos and you just release them and everyone loves them and you get tons of subscribers?
Not anymore that I'm shadow banned.
If you hear this, Mr. YouTube, please unshadow banned my friend Daddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pissed.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. If you're listening,
like
Mr.
It.
YouTube.
Great predicament aside, though, I mean, it sounds like it must be so much fun to do.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. It took a long time to get to this place, obviously, but now it's just, sometimes I'm like, my life is so awesome now. Sometimes I'm like, fuck the world.
Yeah.
So, I'm a little emotional one sometimes.
Yeah, you remember the one thing I did like from the mid 2000s, like 2005 through 2007, was like the emo scene, like My Chemical Romance, Killers. I thought that was really cool, and it went away too soon.
It did. I just got into My Chemical Romance like a year ago, weirdly. I don't know why. And I just like them and like AFI and like Blink-182. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I like got onto it like way too late out of my angsty teen years.
Well, I don't think you got into MCR too late, because didn't they come back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
They either had a reunion tour or they were going to.
I think they were going to, and it got canceled because of the Rona.
The Rona.
Yeah.
Rona!
Rona.
But yeah, I did like that phase. I always, that was in like nice. High school, I always loved the like scene girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was too much of a pussy to like hang out with them, but I always thought that like style was like cute.
I hung out with them. That was like my scene, actually.
Really?
In high school, yeah. My friends were goth and emo.
Was that just a joke because you wanted to use the word scene?
Uh-uh. No, that wasn't a joke.
Okay.
Not everything I do and say is a joke, Lars.
I was trying to give you credit for comedy, Joe, but...
Yeah, I don't need your credit for comedy, Lars.
You don't want it. You don't have to get it.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Back off. Lars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need your validation. I have my own inner validation now.
By the way, Chad, before we kind of wind things down, I kind of wanted to talk about something which I've been very curious about, which is something that you, basically just like you, maybe Oliver Tree in some ways, and then definitely Filthy Frank, you guys all kind of do this thing where you make yourself look intentionally ridiculous in terms of your appearance. And I'm interested because it's like, I feel like self-esteem is such an issue for people in our generation. And how do you, first of all, how do you get the balls to present yourself like that? And then two, like, has it had any effect on your self-esteem to be this like really nerdy, dorky looking character?
I kind of like it because when I'm just like out in the world as myself, it's kind of like not as many people recognize me and stuff because all the characters are kind of unrecognizable, especially the dad. Like, no one would ever guess that's me or even Cheb. Like, people are like, would watch my vlogs or something and be like, wait a second, this is the same guy.
They just recognize the character from the other videos with the character.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of people who are saying like, whoa, he's actually kind of handsome?
Yeah, that happens a lot. There were, like, I think I had like a meeting at like, I forget where it was, but they like didn't even know it was me. They're like, oh, I thought you were going to like come up with the glasses and stuff.
It is kind of shocking how much like one pair of glasses and a messy haircut and like one pair of pants can change someone completely. It's amazing.
Like a stupid looking face.
Yeah.
I like making myself look ugly. It's fun.
I do that too.
That face, man, that is a very specific face that you've crafted.
I know. I don't know what it stemmed from. Yep. It's just like I just contorted it or made it weird looking, but I do like making them faces. They all have like a little different type of face that I make and voice. But what was I gonna say? Because like when I'm like filming in the characters, way more people like recognize and like want pictures, and I'm like, I would not want this like all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have like a negative experience with getting recognized, or like a weird experience where you got recognized?
Dang it. I know I've had a few really weird ones. One time I was at like a small bar in Utah, and like, it was just like kind of overwhelming. There was like some mega fans that just like wouldn't stop talking about, like, to me and stuff. Or like, I don't know, sometimes girls do this thing where they're like, you think you're cool? Cause people are, I'm like, no. Or like when people don't treat you like a real person, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite. It's just like when they treat me differently, I'm like, I'm not that like famous. It's like, just you, it's like a YouTube thing. It's not like I'm like a weird random thing.
Well, the relationship between a fan and a content creator is kind of weird, and it's really complicated because you have this abstraction, this idea in your head of what someone is like based on, I don't know, like, so let's say 100 videos of them. And a lot of those videos, like in your situation, are acting. So it's not really you, it's like your characters. And so it's kind of almost natural, though, in a way, for someone to, if they meet you, I'm assuming they have some sort of expectation based on those videos, which is wrong, but that's all they have for reference, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They think like I'll just be like super high energy all the time or something.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm just chilling. But usually, mostly they like recognize me at raves or like festivals. That's like kind of the crowd, and I'm usually like pretty drunky at those, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
I don't really mind it.
Do they expect you to like entertain them and perform because they're used to seeing you performing?
I know, right? I don't know if they do or what, but I kind of feel like that in my head. I don't know if that's just like me overthinking, but I'm like, oh, I should be funny right now, but like whatever.
Yeah, when I sometimes I'll run into people and somehow the conversation will go to TikTok and they'll be like, they'll ask if I have TikTok or it'll come up and they'll say, oh, what's your username? And then they'll see that I have a lot of followers. And
People in LA are so weird about that too.
Yeah.
They will treat you differently.
The conversation gets really weird after that because then they're like, oh my God, you're TikTok famous. And it's like, what do I say? Where do we go from here?
Thanks.
Yeah. The worst is when people ask me what I'm doing in Ubers And I just want to lie and just be like, I'm a, like a realtor or something. And, but like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I do YouTube. And it's just like a bunch of questions. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about myself.
I hate when like the main thing that I do vocationally at this point, besides my actual job, is that is this podcast. And I hate when someone meets me and they're like, what do you do? And I don't want to talk about the podcast in real life. You know, it's just so awkward. And it's like, it's hard to describe. And I don't really know what to say. It's like, well, we do a show. It's a comedy show and do some interviews. And I don't know. It's kind of the same conversation 100 times in a row.
And it's, I don't know, Lars, do you feel the same way? For me, it's awkward because I feel like they think that I'm full of myself once I tell them that I host a couple shows. It's like they must have this opinion of me that I'm full of myself now, or like I have to be really careful not to say too much because then it sounds like I'm just talking about myself too much. It's just easier not to talk about it at all.
Yeah, especially when we get into like how many people listen to it and stuff. And it's like, I don't know if it feels like braggy or not, even though it's like, I'm just like saying facts. It's so weird to talk about.
Yeah, I don't really love talking about it either.
Being a content creator is weird.
So I like to learn about other people.
Yeah, that's anyway. I should start doing that. Like when people ask, what do you do? I'd be like, well, what do you do? That's probably a better idea.
Well, I have. let me answer your question with a question. What do you do? Do you become really confrontational?
One time in an Uber, I asked him what he does, and he like showed me his music, and it was like insanely good. I was like, what the hell? How are you not like famous?
We have a dude on this Discord server who's like this like world-class beatboxer. And he just like wows us with he comes on the server like every few weeks and he'll just wow us with a like something on the spot, like in a minute 30 of like the most insane shit I've ever heard. I don't know
how he is. It's just his voice.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I wanted to do something for him, so I commissioned him to do a remix of our theme, and I don't know. I feel like there's this weird disconnect between talent and fame where talent does not guarantee fame whatsoever.
Yeah, I was having like a weird epiphany one night. I was like watching my friend perform at like a bar, and like I was like, dang, there's so many freaking talented people out there that have nothing, have like not, or not nothing, but like aren't like big or famous. And I'm like, I don't get how it works. Or like, yeah, my friend's like this really good painter, but like he still like isn't like loaded. You know, I'm just like, how's that fair?
Well, a lot of it comes down, shit, I just hit my mic. A lot of it comes down to other things too, like your ability to network, your ability to carry on with like social interactions, and
and to get really lucky.
You have to get lucky.
But networking helped a lot with me. That's kind of when, go back to like the Lexpro thing, like it was way easier to like talk to people and improvise and network. So like that's when like my channel started to do way better, because like I realized I didn't like doing videos alone really. Like it was always way more fun with other people, and just that networking makes things way better.
By the way, I don't know what your experience is with this. I'm wondering if you agree or disagree. Joe and I have found overwhelmingly that a lot of networking is literally just asking, because so many more people have wanted to collaborate with us than we ever would have imagined. We just had to actually ask them to do it.
Yeah, people are usually down.
It's become a meme on the show. People will,
people are always asking, how do you get all these big YouTubers to show up? And it's like, well, we asked.
We just said, yes. We just asked them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like sometimes I'll work with someone that I've been watching for like ever, and I'm like, holy cow, I'm literally working with like someone I like did not expect to ever be able to like work with. Like I did the dad video with Dylan Francis, and I was like, just mid filming, I was like, is this for real? Like I've always, at raves, I'd always see him and be like, dang. And he's like, I'm always like, he's so funny. And then like, there's like this moment where I have to like snap out of it and just like be in the moment, other than be like, holy cow.
one of the biggest moments of like that for me on this show was the guys from Cyanide and Happiness. You know the internet comic?
No.
It's here. Somebody posted in the chat. You've probably seen them. You might just not. Hold on, while I.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Massive group. They have like 10 million subscribers.
Oh dang! And, they do animation.
Yeah,
I've seen this style before for sure.
And so, just growing up watching those, the guy who made it, Chris Wilson, when we emailed him and he said like, yeah, he's down. I just couldn't believe it. I thought for sure he was going to be one of those massive, you know, content creators that we reach out to, but they don't get back to you. Yeah. And then when he did, and we're actually sitting down talking to him, I was just like, this isn't happening. This is just too surreal.
And he was just like such a normal, laid back, kind of down to earth dude, too. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like Dylan Francis was like one of the most genuine, nice people to work with. Mm-hmm. And like he's like the biggest probably, and like it's just like it's crazy that you don't need to be a dickhead if you're if you're like big.
Exactly. You
know, like people don't, I don't know, like this, like some people having like 10,000 followers and are like, I'm the fucking shit. Like
yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's why I don't like working with bigger people a lot of times. Sometimes I'll just put my like random friends in the video. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that are like the funniest people I've ever met, and they still don't have like that many followers.
Yeah, and then some people, they're really tiny, but they get offended that you haven't heard of them. So you don't know who I am? They have like 1,000 followers.
Those are the best. I remember this one guy we were filming, and he was like some like hype beast guy, and he was like, check out my Insta, just hit 50,000, and just like act like he was like such the shit. And then I was like, okay, yeah. And then like he saw like that I had more followers. Like, dang, what the? He just like treated me differently. I was like, bro, I don't think followers and stuff really friggin' matters.
Yeah, no. I mean, it doesn't say anything about your character.
It's more about, I mean, as a content creator, I would think it's more about creating content that you enjoy and that you are happy to put into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if a lot of people see it, all the better.
Yeah, so true.
All right, I think we're hitting about 1:30 at this point, if you guys want to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I never wrap up the all raw.
Right. It's got a raw dog, the podcast.
What do you normally have for breakfast?
I usually make some coffee. I just got a little latte maker.
Cool.
And then I usually don't eat for like an hour or two, and then sometimes I'll just like not eat until like lunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll have like a salad. I'll be all like healthy in the morning and stuff, and then I'll eat like Chef Boyardee at night. I'm just like stupid. Oh,
classic Italian cuisine.
By the way,
so good.
Speaking of coffee, Chad, have you heard of thick coffee?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm gonna put it in the chat.
Mm-hmm. Is that whipped coffee?
No, that's coffee that's been thickened with xanthan gum to be like a honey consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good?
There's this company called Thicket, which does thickened beverages. They even have this some here.
Baby medicine or something.
This is thick water, like water that is thicker than regular water. That is kind of pasty.
Can I do a dramatic reading of the description?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's pretty good.
Having trouble swallowing doesn't mean giving up your morning coffee. Clear Advantage Thickened Coffee is made with the premium roast coffee for a smooth and richly satisfying flavor. Available in resealable 8 fluid ounce single serving and 64 ounce bottles, Clear Advantage Thickened Coffee is caffeinated and ready to drink whenever you are. Serve hot, chilled, or over ice, regardless of the temperature, it won't get thicker over time.
Someone in the chat says they've tried it and they said it's disgusting.
I just wanted to do that.
It does sound pretty gross.
Yeah, it's one of those products where it's like, I wish it didn't exist.
Why would that be good if you're having trouble swallowing?
I don't know, man.
Why would thicker coffee be good for swallowing?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Like, choke on it.
Yeah, seriously. What the fuck? Weird.
Someone says the water one doesn't taste like much, but the consistency gets you real hard.
What? slides down the throat, somebody says. Disgusting. In the chat.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right. So,
drinking thick water.
By the way, ugh. Chad, if people have been listening to you on this episode and they're kind of intrigued and they want to check out your stuff, what's the best way to do that?
I would just go to youtube.com/churdleys.
Mm-hmm. If someone's listening to this while they're driving, by the way, and they need to remember how to spell it, how do you spell churdleys?
C-H-E-R-D-L-E-Y-S.
Huh? Cool.
That was from a nickname for my sister.
Ah.
Interesting.
And Joe, if people wanted to wear the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Ooh, I want to wear it.
We do have a merch store where we sell merchandise such as sweaters. We sell them in all sizes.
Chutzpah, Joe. Chutzpah.
Right, right. If you're looking to wear the podcast, go to merch.t1podcast.com, where you can find our shirts and more at a reasonable price while helping to support Lars and Joe from the first podcast. That's right, merch.t1podcast.com.
That broke my ears.
Was that enough chutzpah? Should I do it again with less?
No, keep it more? Exactly like higher. It is. That's fine.
Higher? Like, if you're looking for more merchandise than ever.
Guys, by the way, if you have 6 cents a day to spare, and you want to help support the show in a way that gets you bonus episodes of the podcast, early listening privileges to the podcast, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat, and more, you can go to patreon.com/T1podcast to subscribe today. I think that's going to do it.
That was fun.
Chad, thanks for coming on. I was really looking forward to this. I've seen your stuff on Facebook for years now. So I was like,
Stoked to have you on. Thanks for having me.
It was a blast. Sure.
Thanks for listening, beautiful people.
Yeah.
Joe, you got a banger for us to go out on?
Let's see. Yeah. A real banger to go out on. Let me think.
You ever bite your side of your fingers and it starts bleeding and won't stop?
No.
Subscribe to Churdleys, I like it. Subscribe, Churdleys. Bye-bye.
I paid the price, Dan Cameron, I've paid the price, I've Dan Cameron, I've paid the price.